It's Wednesday, October 12th, and this is VOA's International Edition. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Coming up, Donald Trump remains defiant as political support for him continues to erode.
The fact that they messed up on the recall makes things extremely worse.
It turns out the end of the galaxy is not light years away. Also ahead, the health of Thailand's revered king, and fans look to Mars for new music. It's all on today's International Edition. U.S. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump blasted the party's top elected official for abandoning his campaign while acknowledging that his run for the White House is struggling. Trump posted on Twitter that House of Representatives Speaker Paul Ryan is a very weak and ineffective leader after Ryan told other Republicans Monday he would no longer campaign for Trump or defend his offensive comments that have turned voters against the real estate mogul. Ryan made the decision after a 2005 tape surfaced last week in which Trump made crude comments about women. In an NBC Wall Street Journal poll taken after the tape was released, it saw Donald Trump's Democratic rival Hillary Clinton surging to a 46-35% advantage. Alan Lichtman, professor of history at American University, shares his views about Trump's struggling campaign with International Edition host Sarah Williams.
This should be a year based on historical patterns, as gauged by my system, the keys to the White House, that the American people change course and elect a new party to govern. However, the Trump campaign has been such a disaster, and Trump has been such an obviously dangerous candidate, that he is about to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Instead of calming down the doubts that people have had about his candidacy, he has instead inflamed them time and time again. Rather than showing contrition for a video in which he was 59 years old, in which he bragged about committing the crime of sexual assault, he dismissed it as locker room banter. This is an insult to every woman who has suffered unwanted sexual advances or fears it. It is an insult to every decent man in America. In addition, he has demeaned Hispanics, African Americans, the disabled, Muslims. Those who keep track of these things in campaigns show that his lies are so great that it's almost impossible to keep track of them. And so Trump has defeated himself.
One of the other things that he said on Twitter, basically, he says something about the shackles have been taken off. He can now fight for America the way he wants to. And he said Democrats have always proven to be far more loyal to each other than the Republicans. It's kind of a strange thing for a Republican candidate to say.
Well, Trump is not really a Republican. Trump is only Trump. And throughout his life, Trump has only been for Trump. He's the only candidate we've ever seen who has enriched himself at the expense of others without any record of public service. Even his claims about giving to charity have been thoroughly debunked.
How will the Republican Party recover from this?
The party is stronger than any individual. The Republican Party recovered from the debacle of Barry Goldwater, a very different kind of candidate than Donald Trump, but one who lost by 20 points because he was perceived as too radical, too extreme on the right. But it took a long time for the Republican Party to recover, well more than a decade, and it gave the Democrats under Lyndon Johnson an opportunity to enact a very powerful progressive agenda. So parties are resilient, but in the long term, presuming Donald Trump loses, this is going to be a very serious blow to the Republican Party.
American University history professor Alan Lichtman, and I'd like to remind you to stop by our website, voanews.com, for all the latest election updates, as we are just a couple of weeks away now from November 8th, when we will choose our next president. It's time for us now to check out what's buzzing online with our social media correspondent, G. Abby Lee. She's right here in the studio to tell us what's trending on the web. Hi, G.
Hi, Jim. We mentioned Halloween quite briefly yesterday in relation to America's favorite person from the second presidential debate. Now, we may see people dressed in Ken Boone costumes this Halloween. I mean, let's be honest, it doesn't get easier than just red sweater and khaki pants. But probably not as many clowns as we have seen in the past years. That's because creepy clown incidents have been on the rise around the world, and that also affected McDonald's approach to its mascot. The fast food chain is scaling back on its Roland McDonald appearances.
Oh, goodness. Well, what's the online reaction like?
Something similar to how your reaction was. One Twitter user showed disappointment, writing, "People ruin everything." And another person joked, "This is clearly the work of a Burger King," referring to the store's rival.
Okay, well, in the absence of Ronald McDonald, what else is trending?
Two things. So today is International Day of the Girl, which started out in 2012 by the United Nations. It's meant to bring awareness to the rights of more than 1 billion girls around the globe, and the hashtag people are using is hashtag Day of the Girl. The White House wrote a tweet quoting Ambassador Susan Rice. She was quoted as saying, "I am proud to work for a boss who has declared himself as a feminist." Speaking of which, President Barack Obama himself sent out a tweet, and it reads like this. "On International Hashtag Day of the Girl, we remain committed to providing what we all want for our daughters, a future of limitless possibility."
Okay.
And he has two daughters, Sasha and Malia, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the hashtag Day of the Girl is being used quite a bit, too.
Mm-hmm.
What is the other story that's trending?
Also relevant to girls, but not about a girl. Confusing?
Mm.
It's about American cosmetic company CoverGirl's new model, except this time the model is not a girl. So for the first time in its history, CoverGirl chose a boy model, James Charles, as its cover girl. The company tweeted, "Meet at J. Charles Beauty, makeup artist, boundary breaker, and the newest cover girl. Hashtag cover girl James." I want to be known as the boundary breaker, too. Jim, back to you.
Oh, well, thank you so much for that wrap-up, G. You can always follow us on Twitter at @VOA_IE. That's our international edition stream. And on our own individual accounts at VOA Stevenson and at G. Abby Lee. Among the top stories that are trending in Asia, gunmen attack Shiite shrine in Kabul, killing 14 worshippers. Amnesty joins critics of Pakistan's travel ban on leading journalists. China denies allegations its peacekeepers abandoned South Sudan posts. Thai financial markets volatile amid growing concerns over monarch's health. Indian female taxi driver documentary hopes to inspire and embolden women. Find expanded coverage of these stories and much more on the voanews.com website. You can read and see those stories as well on our VOA mobile app. This is International Edition. VOA's International Edition continues. South Korean conglomerate Samsung Electronics has halted all sales of its Galaxy Note 7 smartphone, and it's told its customers to stop using both the original and its replacement after a series of cases of overheating and fires. Customers will be offered a full refund or seek a replacement with different phones. Meanwhile, the company's market value took a big hit on Tuesday, and the high-end smartphone rolled out in August was timed to compete with rival Apple's iPhone 7, but that campaign went up in smoke as images of charred Note 7s began appearing on social media. Samsung has since recalled some 2.5 million of the devices. Jonathan Rubini is an independent technology analyst.
This is very damaging for Samsung, and the fact that they messed up on the recall makes things extremely worse. Some argue that the battery being so large in terms of milliamps, as well as the size being so small, might have been the cause, but clearly, after new phones have been released after the recall, and the new phones have issues as well, there's something else in the phone circuitry that Samsung missed, and they should be fixing. They will definitely survive this. Samsung will survive this, but it will really damage their image. They will have to really work on their PR and, again, make their existing customers happy and trust them again.
Rubini said failure to turn the new smartphone around would be a major setback for Samsung. Troy Stangarone is with the Washington-based Korea Economic Institute, and he tells VOA's Victor Beatty the company probably pushed its first recall too quickly.
To Samsung's credit, they tried to take and address and resolve the issue as expeditiously as possible. But now that we're seeing reports of potentially replacement phones with batteries also catching on fire as well, clearly something is amiss, and this is why Samsung has taken and made the decision to stop all production and to ask retail outlets and cell phone providers to stop selling the phone at the moment.
Is this all related to the lithium-ion battery, or is there something else going on?
That's something that's still to be determined. Originally, Samsung believed that the initial battery could, one, be prevented from catching fire if they reduced its capacity to take on a charge, and two, that they had resolved the issue and that it was basically two connecting nodes within the battery itself that were touching and causing the problem. But having taken and switched to a different battery manufacturer and also having taken the steps to believe that the situation had been addressed, it raises the question of whether this is perhaps either a deeper flaw in the battery that they were unaware of or if it's also something related to the software.
The smartphone market, of course, is highly competitive. Some analysts are suggesting that Samsung, battling its competition, rushed production of the Note 7 with rival Apple, a recently released iPhone 7 in mind.
The Galaxy Note 7, when it originally came out to very strong reviews. It was a very popular phone. They had achieved their goal, which is to try and get a head start on Apple. Generally speaking, Apple usually made their presentation slightly before Samsung. While the phone perhaps came out a little early, it maybe came out a few weeks earlier than a normal Samsung would have. That being said, there clearly was something wrong in the design that perhaps they should have done more testing on.
Well, how is this going to impact its sales?
Right now, you've potentially lost not only the cost of the replacement phones, but the cost in terms of lost sales over the next, I believe they're going to take about 4 weeks to try and determine if they can fix the situation. But also, so not only is it lost sales or replacement sales, but you're also talking about damage to Samsung's reputation. Will consumers now take and question one whether other Samsung products also face challenges and then simply take and decide to go with an alternative brand, be it Apple or someone else?
Troy Stangarone said the recall will not sink the company or hurt the South Korean economy, but a quick resolution will be needed if it hopes to salvage sales during the upcoming Christmas holiday shopping season. Growing uncertainties over the health of Thailand's revered monarch has hit financial markets and investor confidence, with analysts saying the concerns add to a list of issues affecting the Thai economic outlook. The ongoing concerns over the 88-year-old monarch's health has increased uncertainties over the economy as the country confronts its first royal transition in more than 70 years. VOA State Department correspondent Steve Herman is in our studio with perspective on the king's deep-rooted importance in Thai society.
For most Thai people alive, this is the only king they have ever known, and what lies in the future? The thought of Thailand without King Rama IX is incomprehensible to a lot of Thais.
What have we heard, at least so far, about his condition? Obviously, we're hearing some rumblings about things being done kind of underneath the surface.
He has been in failing health for a number of years and, in fact, has spent most of the past few years in hospital in Bangkok. The last thing that we heard officially was on Sunday night when we had a medical bulletin come out explaining a blood purification procedure that he had undergone and that due to low blood pressure, the king had to be put on a ventilator and that his condition was not stable. And there hasn't been an update since then.
Mm. The king is so deeply revered that even the current junta in charge goes to him for permission.
Everything has to have the king's signature on it. So just how all this will function after his passing, he is 88 after all, is really a deeply emotional thought for most Thai people. And Thailand, of course, does have a crown prince, Vajiralongkorn. He is not as revered as his father. And this is a very sensitive subject because in Thailand, there are less majesty laws. Mm-hmm. And so any sort of perceived criticism or even what we in the West would regard as an open conversation can land you in a lot of trouble. And even those who are outside of Thailand have to be careful what they say if they ever hope to go back into Thailand as well. But I think that after the king's eventual passing, as the transition begins, that there will be a bit more discussion about this, especially among academics and journalists overseas, about what this is all going to mean for Thailand.
Mm-hmm. Is it a particularly sensitive issue since we don't have an elected government in place at the moment?
That really wouldn't matter because these are laws that were in place before this latest military junta took power. And there has been a lot of speculation that Prayut Chan-o-cha, who is now the prime minister, he was the army chief at the time of the coup a couple of years ago, that the generals absolutely want to be at the helm through what they figure is going to be a very sensitive period with some uncertainties.
Steve Herman, our State Department correspondent and longtime Southeast Asia bureau chief. Steve, thank you so much for the insights.
You're welcome, Jim.
And be sure to stop by our website often, voanews.com, for all the latest updates coming out of Thailand. You can also follow us on Twitter at @VOA_IE. And while you're online, check out our Facebook page at VOA Now. You're listening to International Edition. This is VOA.
On November 8th, American citizens will exercise their right to vote and choose their next president. VOA is providing comprehensive coverage of this unique democratic process. Who is going to earn the trust of the American people to lead the nation for the next 4 years? Find out right here on VOA.
The news never stops, so keep current on your mobile device with VOA News. Just go to m.voanews.com/English for instant, up-to-the-minute news and entertainment. Check m.voanews.com/English on your handheld device for news as it happens. Stay connected with a fast-changing world with m.voanews.com/English.
This is VOA's International Edition. Singer Bruno Mars is releasing a new album and a single. It's International Edition's Sarah Williams and VOA Border Crossings host Larry London to talk about it.
First of all, happy birthday to Bruno Mars. He celebrated a birthday on October 8th, and he is celebrating in a big way. He's just released a brand new single, which is the title track, at least it is for now, from his upcoming third album, 24 Karat Magic. Bruno Mars, you may recall, about a year ago or so, performed the halftime show at the Super Bowl and had a number one song with Uptown Funk, you know, which was produced by and created by Mark Ronson, but spent quite a few weeks at number one. Everybody loves the song Uptown Funk. And now he's back with an upcoming new album. It'll be his third album. And Bruno Mars is one of the most talented performers in the business. People love his style, love his vibe, love his voice. And this new album will feature a little bit of a change for Bruno Mars. He's going to go the route of the electronic dance music producer. He's working with Skrillex and a number of other folks, not doing as much with his backup band known as The Hooligan. So this time around, he's doing something different. But it's going to be Bruno Mars, just like you know him. So why don't we check out the new song, 24 Karat Magic.
Tonight.
This is interesting, Larry, because we've talked before about these electronic, electronic dance?
Yep, EDM, which is the new craze, Skrillex and Afrojack and Calvin Harris and David Guetta, and the list goes on and on. All of these DJ-type producers are creating music that is just dominating the pop scene right now.
Why is it so popular?
Well, I asked Flume that. He's an Australian electronic dance music producer who's been nominated for 11 Australian Recording Industry Association Awards. And what he said was, it's the beat, it's the vibe, it's the feel, in the music. It's a lot of energy, and that's what people love, especially when they see an EDM producer live in a concert. It's that energy and the vibe that they bring to the music that they work with.
But then poor Bruno Mars' band. They must feel a bit neglected.
Well, I'm sure they're at home counting their money because the first two albums did very, very well. And I would assume that they're going to go on tour with him as well when he announces his tour, probably in 2017. But right now, he's enjoying the new single. A lot of people have been waiting several years for the new single. 2014 was the big year. He won some Grammys. He won 4 Grammys in all. He's had 5 number one songs go to the top of the charts faster than any other artist. He beat his own idol, Elvis Presley. Here's a little known fact that Bruno Mars, who grew up in Hawaii, his parents own an Elvis memorabilia store in Hawaii. They still own it to this day. And there was a time when he was 4 and 5 years old, 6 years old, he was called the youngest Elvis impersonator. In fact, he played a little Elvis in the movie Leaving Las Vegas with Nicolas Cage.
I was just going to ask you, did he go to Las Vegas at that time?
Yes, and you know what? It's ironic how things go full cycle because he's just signed a deal with MGM International. He's going back to Las Vegas because he's going to be the headliner for a while as the regular house performer at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. But he's going to do other MGM properties. For example, he's performing at the end of this year in Maryland. He's doing several shows at the MGM property here in Maryland, and then it's back to Las Vegas. So he's all over the place, but his music is great, and I really am excited, because I'm a fan myself, for the new single, 24 Karat Magic.
Sounds like he's doing really well.
He's doing well. Continues to do well.
Thanks very much, Larry. That's Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings.
You've been listening to International Edition. We're always at voanews.com any time of the day or night you'd like to check us out. We're also on Facebook at VOA Now, and our Twitter stream is constantly being updated at VOA_IE. Our director is Tracy Carter, engineer Dan Crafton. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you have a wonderful day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In a very close vote, Colombians voted down a peace accord aimed at ending a 52-year guerrilla war with the Marxist rebel group known as the FARC. The no vote edged out the yes vote by 0.5% of the vote, with 37% of eligible voters going to the polls. Many no voters expressed concern over the peace agreement's provisions on justice for conflict-related crimes. The United States commends the Colombian government and people of Colombia for the democratic process and recognizes that difficult decisions lie ahead. President Juan Manuel Santos, FARC leader Rodrigo Londano, and opposition leader Alvaro Uribe have all indicated their commitment to achieve peace and to engage in inclusive national dialogue. Colombians have expressed their commitment to settle their differences through institutions and dialogue rather than violence. Indeed, both President Santos and FARC leader Londano have agreed to keep the ceasefire in place. White House spokesperson Josh Earnest said the voice of the Colombian people must be taken into account. We hope that all sides will continue to be focused on the goal of a negotiated peace, and we want to encourage them to continue to pursue that path. But it's also important for them to be acting consistent with the promises that they've made to the Colombian people. Colombia can count on the support of the United States as it continues to seek democratic peace and prosperity for all Colombians. The U.S. supports President Santos's proposal for a broad dialogue as the next step toward a just and lasting peace.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, www.voanews.com/editorials.